post, get there first. The near post, get there first.
Good evening and welcome to Capital Football's Near Post Radio Show. I'm Chris Scottis. It's the 26th of August. Winter is finally, or very nearly, gone. As usual, welcome Russ Gibbs.
Hey Chris, how are you this week?
Man, I'm well. A bit crooked, but never mind.
That's all good.
It's not going to stop me from coming in, unlike someone else.
Absolutely, yeah. I'm a bit slack.
But mate, I don't want to stick my neck out of the line too far, but I think it's fair to say it's probably one of the warmest evenings I've had coming to the studio in quite a while.
Absolutely. I left the thermal gloves in the car. There was no need for them this evening. It was a pleasant stroll through the city.
17 degrees, I think it was today.
Fantastic. A few weeks' time, we'll be coming in with short sleeves.
Oh, perfect. We'll be able to do a broadcast from outside. You never know.
On the roof or something.
On the roof. We'll find somewhere. Never mind. We're not here to talk about the weather, are we? We are joined by a special guest, an up-and-coming star of the local football community. Big welcome to Martin Zygmunt. Welcome, Martin.
Hello, how are you?
Very well, thank you. Now, do I have to separate you two guys? We've got a Tuggies boy over here, a Woden Valley guy next to him. You know, the results on the weekend, I don't want you guys kicking each other under the table.
He's a bit bigger than me, so we'll let that one go. I mean, for those of you that didn't know, that Martin got a hat-trick for Woden Valley on the weekend as they gave Tuggerong a bit of a kicking to round off the season. But yeah, it was well done.
Thank you very much.
He says through gritted teeth.
I was going to say, you didn't say that earlier, but now that he's sitting next to you, it changes. But never mind, as we usually will do, we'll take a look at the news headlines at the top of the hour. We will have a chat with Martin, and finally we'll take a bit of a look at this weekend's fixtures with the major and minor semi-finals in the Men's Premier League and also the final round of the Women's Premier Leagues. But until then, if you've got a football story you want to share, please contact the show at media@capitalfootball.com.au. And a big hello to all those people listening to the podcast at the Near Post blog at www.nearpost.blogspot.com. But Russ, I believe you've got some news headlines there.
I certainly do, and we start off with the W League coach. No word on who it is yet. It's been a tough process. Plenty of candidates have applied. Just hope that the right person for the job be selected within the next few days, and we should get an announcement by the end of the week, so we can expect plenty of news to follow with players' signings, and hopefully we'll be able to get the coach in here for a chat.
Indeed, the ball really has to start rolling on this one. It's not long until kickoff, but I think there'll be some very, very good news coming very shortly. So with the coach's announcement, hopefully before the end of the week, then we can go from there.
And the Men's Premier League is coming to its conclusion. All the top four was announced, finalised on the weekend. Canberra FC, we knew, were already there. Canberra Olympic, Belconnen United and O'Connor Knights. We'll be talking about that a little bit later on. Staying with the Premier League theme, Canberra City's Premier League squad is seeking expressions of interest for their head coach position for 2009. So if there's any budding coaches out there looking for a new challenge, jump on the Capital Football website for more information under Men's League.
And sticking with top flight football in the ACT, last week was the conclusion of the Men's Premier League season. This week is the conclusion of the Club Pink Premier League. So all the women out there, get out there, support your Premier League teams, and good luck to all those involved. Also, sticking with women's football, Women's Summer Sixes competition is back for another year. The fantastic summer competition caters for all levels, from beginners to experts. For more information, visit the Women's League section of the Capital Football website, with more details on registrations up there online, so please check out the website there.
And it's a big weekend of finals. State League finals start this weekend. Staying in the theme of one of the finalists, Steve Forshaw, the coach at Belconnen United, said that his players receive a $2,000 player sponsorship fund from Smartfix each year, and the players have voted amongst themselves to buy 10 club memberships with the money in the name of the sponsor, and they'll distribute them as prizes within their club. So that's a good gesture from the players at Belconnen United.
That's fantastic. On the Foundation A-League for Canberra Foundation memberships, last time I checked late this afternoon, 574 members. That number continues to grow week from week. Last week we surpassed the 500 mark for the first time. This week it's 574. Next week it could be 650, you never know. But good news, John Stanhope, the Chief Minister of the ACT, has signed on as a Foundation member, just further, I guess, emphasising the ACT government support for this A-League bid. And we believe that the FFA will have their board meeting this week to ratify the Gold Coast and Townsville bids for 2009. But possibly we can expect maybe a Canberra A-League announcement, who they might expect, who they would like to see. We don't know, but fingers crossed we hear something.
Absolutely, and staying with a bit of local, down the grades a little bit. On August the 30th, Bell North members will be coming to Gungahlin United FC's Nichols Fields to collect money for Ross Green's cancer treatment. Ross is a Bell North player with leukemia, and he'll be undergoing a bone marrow transplant in the very near future. Go to the Bell North or Gungahlin website for more details. Please open your hearts and wallets for what is a very worthwhile cause.
And we had, again, five players taking part in A-League action. Unfortunately, not all five were played. But speaking of good news, both Kofi Danning and Sam Munro have signed Sydney FC contracts, Youth League contracts. That's fantastic for those two boys. That was reported in the Canberra Times earlier this week. And along with Dane Milovanovic and Sam Munro in Japan on tour with the Young Socceroos.
And finally, there's some capital football appointments and futsal moves in the building where Chris works. Stephen McIntyre has been appointed as general manager. Pat McCann is appointed assistant technical director of coaching and futsal. David Lee, the futsal league manager, and Nicole Somi is futsal league assistant.
Indeed. So anything futsal from now on will have to go through the Capital Football Office. So anything to do with futsal now, whether it's indoor or outdoor versions of the game, it's all done through Football House. So hopefully that makes it easier for everyone.
Hello, I'm Paul O'Con, and you're listening to The Near Post on the Australian Community Radio Network.
But as mentioned, we are joined in the studio by Woden Valley's Marcin Zygmunt. Again, welcome, Marcin.
Thank you.
Mate, your season's, I suppose, just come to an end, but it finished on a high note, didn't it?
Oh, definitely, yeah. The last round of fixtures, we just played really well and got some good results, and one of the most consistent teams, I think.
Well, I think particularly in the final game of the season, you guys defeated Tuggeranong United 3-0. Had a hat-trick in that one.
Yeah, personally, it was a great game, and it's good to beat our Southside rivals. You know, we had a bit of a 1-0 draw beforehand, so it's good to get another win there.
You guys missed out on the finals by, I think it was only 3 points or a couple of points. Do you wish maybe there is two more weeks in the season? I think you guys would be fairly confident of making the top four if there is a one or two more games.
Oh, definitely, yeah. I think just our run just started maybe a little bit too late, so maybe a couple more weeks, then yeah, we could be up there. Yeah, definitely.
Were you and the players a little surprised that you finished fifth on the ladder when some local pundits, and I mean myself, tipped you for the bottom two? And you kind of surprised myself. So was it something conscious within the team, or do you think they just improved as the season went on?
Well, actually, at the beginning of the season, we had a bit of a discussion with the team, and we set some goals about what we want to achieve and how we want to finish. But then it came halfway through the season, and when, you know, we're rock bottom without a single win. So then the coaches got us together and then sat us down and go, look, you know, these are the goals that we need to achieve. This is what we have to do. And then the team just clicked, I guess. And then we strive to achieve those goals. And I guess kind of a couple of us surprised each other. But we matched pretty well.
And Chris mentioned you missed out on the top four placing by only 3 points.
Yeah, only 3 points. Yeah.
What do you think the club needs to do to improve next year to get you into those top four placings and a chance to compete alongside the Canberra FC and Bell Collins?
I think we've got youth on our side, so that's the main thing. If we keep the team together, then... you know, the boys know each other well and we can continue playing well. But I think the biggest problem with us is we're lacking experience. If we get a few more players, maybe in the midfield or in the defence, then we'll get that experience and we can get those players to dictate the younger ones and get a bit more composure on the field, I guess. Yeah.
Chris mentioned you got a hat-trick on the weekend. That was 9 goals for you from the season from central midfield, which is a fairly decent return for a central midfielder. You also had Rockets representation, which we'll talk a little bit about later on. Would you class 2008 as a success for you on a personal level?
Oh, definitely on a personal level. Yeah, I achieved a lot of goals, what I wanted to achieve, so definitely, yeah.
And some of the goals I have seen you score this season have been fairly spectacular, and your shooting is renowned as in the league as being fairly accurate. Is it, apart from your shooting, what do you think your strengths are as a player?
Well, I think my passing has always been a strength and my control. Just since I was a little kid, I always loved to, you know, juggle a ball. And I love my passing as well, so I think, yeah, that's probably one of my main strengths.
I mean, your team's improved over the course of the last 4 or 5 weeks. Which of your teammates have stood up for you?
Oh, for me personally, in the defence, got a young guy, Jonathan Rees. He's been playing really well and consistently and getting in the tackles. And obviously our keeper, Chris Morrow, he's been pulling off some good saves and keeping us in matches where it's been really tight. And I guess it's got us those wins.
Well, earlier in the season, you had the Rockets representation. On a level for yourself, obviously being selected for the best of the best in Canberra, what does that mean to you?
Oh, for me personally, it's a great achievement. It just shows that I've been playing consistently and I guess my performance has been recognised and get an opportunity to play against a top quality opposition.
And what do you think, can you describe the experience to the listeners about how different it might have been training with the Rockets to what it might be at Woden Valley.
Oh, definitely. Training with the Rockets, you just get your players that are just really high class up there. And with the coaching as well, it just really helped me personally. And I guess with a lot of the boys in the team, we've been playing with each other since our youth days. So getting the boys together and having a high standard there, it's just really lifted my game.
Now, you did take on the Central Coast Mariners in that game at Deakin Stadium. You went down 4-0. Scoreline wasn't that much of an influence. It didn't really matter what the scoreline was, but must have been just a fantastic chance to run out with. You mentioned the boys you've played with in the past, but a chance to lace up with those boys again and take on some good quality opposition.
Oh, yeah, definitely. It just shows there's a vast difference between the Canberra League and what you have to be to be a professional. So it was definitely an experience that I'll take to my heart. And it's just, yeah.
Now, it's not the first time you've had an encounter with the Central Coast. I believe you've previously gone up and trained with them.
Yeah, actually, I went last year. Me and another fellow player went up for a few days just for a bit of a training round. And it really surprised me again how intense the training are and how mentally prepared the players are. It was really amazing.
Did you come back to the local league and want to step up your training, and did it inspire you to follow those sort of dreams?
Oh, it did, definitely. Like, since I was younger, I've always actually wanted to play as high as I can get, but gaining that first-hand experience, it definitely helped me. I came back and was really focused about what I wanted to do and pass on my knowledge as well to the players.
And we're talking to Martin Zygmunt here from Woden Valley. Martin, you just mentioned the Central Coast experience. How did that come about?
I think it started with Woden Valley getting an affiliation with the Central Coast Mariners. They kept in contact last year, and was a proposition to send two or three players over there, just a bit of a training round. And luckily, me and a fellow player were selected, and it was a good opportunity to go up there.
And can you describe what the main difference is between the setups between the ACT Premier League level and the Mariners? What do you think is the major difference between the two?
Well, I think the major difference is professionalism. Well, in Canberra here, you only train really, two times a week. Over there, it's just consistently every day. And you get your professional coaches that, are really focused on achieving really high goals. Yeah.
Have you had any further experience, contacts with the Mariners, other than the Rockets game at all since then?
I've had a bit of a chat to Laurie myself, but other than that, no, not really. Yeah.
Who did you go up to the Mariners with?
Oh, it was Cameron Gordon. Yeah.
And was it good going through that experience with someone you've played with before on a regular basis down here?
Oh, definitely. It helps, having someone up there that so, you can talk about your problems and, have a friend with you so you can have a bit of a chat as well.
Now, tell me, Laurie's a pretty nice guy up there, coach and manager of the Central Coast Mariners. Did he go lightly on you boys, or did he whip you guys like the rest of the team?
Oh, at the start, it was really nice. Actually came and picked us up from the hotel, and it was just down to earth, just a normal person. But when it came to trainings, you got to be out there putting in the effort. If you're slacking off, that's it. He'll let you know.
And do you feel that you held your own?
Oh, I thought I did hold my own, but unfortunately, I got food poisoning when I was up there. So
for
the first day or so, I was just struggling. But the second day, I tried to push myself as much as I can, and yeah, it's definitely worthwhile.
Did you use the food poisoning as an excuse at all, or did you not tell anyone?
Oh, I used it, of course.
We've talked about it in the last few weeks. Well, a lot in the last weeks about a prospect of a Canberra A-League side. Does the prospect of a Canberra A-League side excite you as a fan, as well as a player with perhaps eyes on a professional contract with the club?
Oh, it definitely does. It'd be really beneficial for Canberra to have a team. In the A-League, there's a lot of young players coming through, but the opportunities are limited. So if we have a team here, it'll definitely give those young players a good stepping stone to get into A-League and, maybe something abroad later on. And personally, yeah, it's definitely that'll be something that I'll be interested in.
And with that in mind, what are your future goals and ambitions to go as far as you can?
Oh, definitely go as far as I can. I'll keep training hard and, hopefully with a bit of luck, something could, pop up around the corner.
Now, quite incredibly, just talking about Woden Valley again this year, you took the captain's armbands. That must have been quite the experience. Have you been captain before?
Yeah, actually, I've been captain when I was like 16 and 19, so I've had a bit of experience how to be a captain. So it was a good opportunity again to, bring on the captain's armband.
Now, you were in charge of a very, very young side. You're young yourself. We were discussing before, was it awkward or difficult at all to, I guess, at the start of the year to see yourself as not superior, but the leader? Because you're only 22, and I believe the average age of that team was about 18.8, which is quite incredible for a Premier League side.
Oh, definitely. Well, at the start, I just didn't really hear me. I treated myself as a young player, you know, with the boys, and just joked around, did, you know, normal stuff you would do. But then towards the middle of the season, I had to really step up and then, you know, show my leadership skills and my experience through the Premier League.
And I'm not sure if it's any relation, but I think that's when we saw Woden Valley, I guess, really start to compete on the park. You guys suffered the first 9 games going through without victory.
Yeah, that's right.
And then the second half of the season, what was different? You guys, I believe, won 5 of your last 9 games.
We had a few stern words from the coach, and I had a few words myself, and I think we just decided to click, and it all came together, I guess. Yeah.
That's fantastic. Now, we mentioned such a young side. Was it difficult at all playing with such a young side when you come up against the likes of, you know, the Belconnens and the Canberra FCs with such quality experience?
Well, I think the main thing was just to not give them too much respect. Like the main thing we personally lacked was the experience. And again, if you had a few more players who were experienced, then, you know, we could kind of control the players and bring them down, get them relaxed. But, you know, being 22, you know, still one of the youngest ones there, but probably actually one of the ones with the most experience. So it became a little bit difficult, but gradually as we progressed, we gained that experience, and it really helped us along.
Now, did you guys at any point think, hold on, we're in a chance here to make the top four?
Yeah, we're actually, towards the last 3 or 4 games, we were looking at the ladder and going, well, you know, if we win, you know, the last 2-3 games and a couple of results go our way, then yeah, we do have a chance. And then just came down to the second last game of the seasons where, unfortunately, we suffered a bit of a loss, which put us out, but yeah, we were really actually enjoying ourselves and hopefully making the top four.
Well, in that second last game, I believe you guys took on Canberra Olympic, were coming off some pretty impressive results. How did you go into that match? You knew they came off a 6-0 victory the week before.
Oh, we didn't really focus too much on them. We focused, you know, on how we're playing and how consistently we're playing. And we tried to transfer that towards the game, but I guess on the day we just didn't turn up and, yeah, put a few goals past us.
Is it any coincidence, do you think? We're talking about the upturn in the form that Woden Valley had. Do you think it's any coincidence that it coincided with you coming back from Rockets training? Maybe your confidence flooded through the team a bit?
Oh, I don't think so necessarily, because we had a lot of youth players who were in the youth Rockets as well, so they gained that exposure as well through top coaching, and I guess they transferred, you know, their experience through to Woden, because I think we had about 7 or 8 players that were part of that team. So I think it could have been a combination of those two.
So the big question we really want to ask is, what happens to your football career from here? If there's no 8 League team in Canberra coming through, where do you think you go from here? Is the Rockets, do you think, is that the pinnacle of your level, or do you think there might be chances for you to go elsewhere in terms of other A League teams?
Well, I think, you know, I've still, you know, I've got the youth on my side and I've got the experience, and hopefully maybe something in the A League or maybe something interstate. But just for now, I just want to relax after the season and go from there.
Now, do you play futsal over the summer?
Yeah, I play futsal, definitely.
Now, how do you think futsal benefits your game? Do you find that have you played futsal for a long time?
Yeah, played it, yeah, for a very long time now.
And do you feel the benefits of futsal when you're playing outdoor football with, you know, the ability to control the ball in small spaces and so on?
Oh, it definitely does, because we got a bit of a long break, 3-4 months off from outdoor, and then just keeping your touch in indoor, you know, the close passing, controlling and shooting, it keeps you sharp and aware, so it definitely benefits.
Now, you're undertaking a bit of a research project. I'm not sure if too many people know about this research project. You're doing this for uni. I'm not too sure many footballers have actually taken the time to do this sort of research, but for uni, what do you mind going and explaining what sort of report you're putting together?
Yeah, well, I'm doing a report into refereeing and finding out the community's perspective towards refereeing, because being a player myself, I've had my bad luck with refereeing decisions and being sent off, or, you know, personal swearing and abuse and stuff, and just doing a research project to find out how the community feels about referees and how the referees view themselves, and hopefully finding strategies to you know, close that gap of perception.
How far are you into this research project?
Oh, it's been going on for a good solid about 3 months, 3-4 months, yeah.
And are you surprised by some of your findings?
Some of the findings are pretty consistent to what I was actually had a suspicion of. But a couple of things are surprising me. Yeah.
Like what? Do you mind going to them, or are you going to give away your project while doing so?
I can't give away too much.
What course are you doing at uni?
Sports management, yes. It's my final year.
So maybe looking into getting into coaching, or what are you looking to get into afterwards?
I'm looking into getting into the business side of the sporting industry. Hopefully something in football, because football's been my passion. But we'll see how things plan out in the future.
So maybe if not a professional football player, maybe working for a professional team?
Yeah, something like that, definitely, yeah. Maybe somewhere in Europe.
Now, Marcin, thank you very, very much for joining us in the studio. You've thrilled many of us throughout the season. It was very unfortunate you guys didn't make the top four, but hopefully you can retain most of your players and get it back out there next year.
Oh, definitely, yeah. Thank you very much for having me.
Now, last week, Russ, we had a Magic 8-Ball segment. Unfortunately, no Magic 8-Ball, so we turned to the Fortune Cookies.
Yep.
This week, again, no Magic 8-Ball, again, no Santa Ronaldinho, the Olympics are over.
He's disappointed, I think. They got beat in the semi-final. He's gone for a bit of a sulk.
He has. Now, unfortunately, we don't have fortune cookies either.
Well, I think there was a couple of crumbs in here last week, and the giant rats that inhabit the Griffin Centre, they've come in and nanched it all away, and we've been told that we're not allowed to bring them in, which is disappointing for everybody.
Look, we have to apologise. We may have breached some type of copyright act last week with the song.
Apologies to anybody that we may have offended with that.
we're not sure if we can play the song again. What's your singing like, Marcin?
It's terrible.
Terrible, so we won't get Marcin to sing the song. Eamon, any good at singing?
I'm fantastic.
Fantastic at singing. Are you going to put your hand up for a bit of a tune?
Possibly.
Maybe not. We'll rethink of that one. Maybe next week. But anyways, because we don't have a fortune cookie, because we don't have a magic 8-ball, Marcin, do you mind passing over your hat? We've got a few answers we've sure. put on pieces of paper. We're going to put them in the hat. They're all folded up. Let's mix them around. The third best thing to the Magic 8-Ball. Now, Russ or Marcin, do you guys have any questions you need answered this week?
I think Marcin must have a question. Any question you like.
Oh, I can't think off the top of my head.
Put him on the spot. Eamon's got something.
I've always got a question. Which one do you want?
Any one you want.
Well, probably one of the best ones you've got.
Okay, Will Woden Valley ever get into the final series?
That's a big question.
That is a very,
that's
big,
a very
question.
Big question. And let's see what the Magic Hat stroke newspaper has to say.
Now,
ask again. Okay, which is good, because I brought two out by accident.
If you didn't hear the first time, will a Marcin Zegman led Woden Valley ever get into the final series?
I apologise to any Woden Valley people that are listening, but my piece of paper says no.
Oh, no.
So that's it. You might as well give up and go.
It's all over.
It's not good for poor old Woden Valley.
Now, keeping with the theme of, well, not necessarily Canberra theme, but we mentioned before the FFA were going to have their board meeting this week. I suppose one of the questions everyone wants to know is, will Canberra ever get an A-League team? Or if so, will we see a Canberra A-League team in 2010-2011?
Marcin, pick one out.
The pressure's on you, obviously. Okay, this is going to decide whether Canberra gets an A-League team.
Yes.
Yes, there it
we
is.
Will get one.
You heard it first. Here on Capital Football's New Post Radio Show, Canberra will receive an A-League team. Good news for the region.
Excellent. And for all the work that Ivan Slavich has put in and everybody else, it's all going to come down to this moment. And the man sat next to us here.
And it says yes.
He may not have known, but he's just played the biggest part in Canberra's A-League bid. But never mind, we must move on. The show must go on. Time to look at local football and, in particular, the Men's Premier League. We've reached finals time, Russ.
We certainly have. We'll just round up the scores from the last round of the Premier League. Tuggeranong United 0, Woden Valley 3, Marcin Zimmer with a hat-trick there. Queanbeyan City and Canberra City shared a six-goal thriller, three apiece at the Riverside. Ned Alexic with two and Mark Walker for Queanbeyan City. Kevin Roone with a brace and David Dexter for Canberra City. But there's the top four sides are in action. Canberra Olympic 4, ANU 1, a hat-trick for Oliver Wiedeker, Robbie Schroeder scoring for Olympic, Chris Isaacson getting one back for ANU. And in the big clash, Canberra FC comfortably seeing off Belconnen 3-0. Alex Castro, 21st goal of the season from Paul Ivanich, and Cole Aitken to set up a finals series on the weekend, which kicks off on Sunday with two semi-finals.
It does. First takes on second, so that's going to be Canberra FC taking on Canberra Olympic. That's at Deakin Stadium on Sunday with a 2:30 kickoff. So make sure you're aware that it is a 2:30 kickoff and not your normal 3 o'clock kickoff. And then over at the Belconnen Soccer Centre at Mackellar, it's 3v4. So you'll see Belconnen United taking on the O'Connor Knights. That one's at 2:30 as well. Both those games on Sunday. Rusty, what do you make of that?
Well, look, obviously the big one is the minor semi-final between Belco and O'Connor. It's the sudden death for both of those sides. If they lose, they go home. It's going to be a tough clash. Belconnen not coming into it on the back of the best form that they've shown this season, but they should have too much for O'Connor Knights, and I think they'll see Dean Ugrinich's men out of the finals after this weekend. And Canberra FC against Canberra Olympic on Sunday. Canberra FC will be smarting for revenge after Olympic turned them over 3-0 a few weeks ago. You can't look past Canberra FC, particularly on their own patch.
Well, you mentioned the Belconnen United and O'Connor Knights. It's quite interesting. Belconnen haven't defeated O'Connor this year. First time they met, it was a 1-1 draw, and that one was at O'Connor and closed. And the latest one was about 4 weeks ago when O'Connor defeated Belconnen 4-3 at Mackellar. So, you know, yes, I think it's fair to say O'Connor's got the wood over Belconnen this year.
It could go either way, and of course O'Connor liking Mackellar, they won the Fed Cup there earlier this year against Canberra. So my gut reaction is that if Belconnen can nullify the threat of Goran Veljanovski, then they'll have too much for O'Connor on the weekend.
And then just quickly, in the other one, 1v2, Canberra FC v Canberra Olympic. That one's, as you mentioned, an absolutely fascinating battle. Canberra Olympic, the only team to defeat Canberra FC this year.
I think we've said it all season long, that if they can tidy up their back four and keep nice and solid at the back, they do have the attacking potential going forward to score goals and create problems. It'd be a major upset, I think, if Olympic beat them at the first attempt, and if Canberra City didn't make the finals. That's their only slip up all season. Other than that, they looked fairly invincible. I'd be surprised if these two teams weren't lining up in the grand final in 2 weeks' time.
Well, you're certainly right in saying that they possess quite the strike force when on their day. 19 goals and one goal conceded in the past 4 games. Fascinating.
It is. I mean, Scott Barsi's come to the party a little bit for them in recent weeks, scoring a bag full of goals. He had a slow start to the season. But it's not just him. On the weekend, Oliver Wiedinger got a hat-trick. Travis Dries can weigh in with a few. Trent Flanagan, Robbie Schroeder, the list goes on.
If you're going to the near post,
get there first.
Near post, get there first. The near post, get there first. Don't get there second, don't get there third. The near post, get there first. If it's for football news that you thirst. The near post, get there first.